World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You got me typing here a second. Bear with me a second. I gotta get this up here. Let me put that here. Let me put this. Morning. Get ready for communion. Wow. A lot of crazy stuff going on. I hope every day when you come in here, I just spoke a little bit here in the pre-show to folks that joined us here in the pre-show. Again, if you want to join the pre-show, folks, go to CoachDaveLive.com. That's where you can come in and ask questions. And you know, excuse me, we're on a lot of different platforms. In fact, I don't really know. Rumble, we're on a lot of different platforms. And our producers, the guys, Jared and the guys, are the ones that know all that. But we're on a lot of platforms. And so, I didn't mean to sound like I was bragging. I'm just telling you, we're on a lot of platforms. We're going out on a lot of different directions. And one of the hallmarks, as I just said to the people before we went live here, one of the hallmarks is I'm not afraid to take on any subject. And I'm going to be honest with you. Lord, just thank you, Lord, that the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleased in your sight today. Thank you, Lord. I really don't know my theology. I really don't know. If they would put a gun to my head and say, Coach Dave, write down 10 things that you believe from a Christian perspective, I don't know if I could do it. Because the Bible says we're working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And I do know this. I smell a rat in a lot of things that I've been taught. And as I've said to many of you out there, and I'm not trying to do anything. Come on in, Dave. I'm not trying to do anything regarding anybody's faith. I was taught a lot of malarkey. My opinion, okay? My opinion. I was taught a lot of malarkey in the Catholic Church. Sorry. That's what I think. Screw on over there. Was there some truth? Oh, yeah, there was a lot of truth. But I was taught a lot of malarkey. And I spent a long time in my life overcoming things that they taught me that now I think, I don't think if that was true. Yes, you got to come on over for us.
We'll get through communion.
Okay, Dave said we'll get through communion. And that's in my mind, that's what it means that working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, because there's just so many pre-trib, post-trib. I mean, I could lay out a hundred things. And some of you would agree with me and some of you wouldn't agree with me. And that's why I try to keep this forum fresh, because you take your piece of meat and you throw it on the table and we'll cut it up and we'll chew it out. And at the end of the day, we may not still agree, but we can still be friends. I want you to know this, that many of the Christians that you associate with do not believe the same thing you believe. Whatever that issue might be, they have a different perspective on it. And so we know this because that's why we have so many different denominations. So I'm trying to say, this isn't like you turn into Jimmy Swaggart and I tell you the truth and then see you next week, which is what church is, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah.
You go to church, the guy in the pulpit tells you the truth, see you next week. That isn't here. And if that's what you want, then okay. This is an open forum of free thinking Christians and ideas. That's what it is. And some of you don't like it. Some of you come and some of you go and whatever those reasons might be. But I want you to know that I am, as Rush Limbaugh would say, on a relentless pursuit of the truth. And I'm man enough to tell you, I don't know the truth in every area, but baby, I'm looking for it. All right. So that's where we are. Let's remain friends. Let's not take out our swords against each other over theological issues. You believe what you want to believe. I'll believe what I want to believe. And let's all of us seek the truth. That's really what I want to be able to do. All right. So that's kind of an opening here. And again, I told you, Dave Allison just came down to join me. Joe, let's go to communion out there. Thank God for communion. Joe, just say hello so we know we can hear you, will you?
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
Okay, there we go. Yes.
All awake out here in California, or California, as I say nowadays.
There you go, brother. It's getting worse and worse, too, isn't it, huh? Hey, here's the good news. God's moving into California. You mark my word.
Actually,
coming into California like we ain't never seen. Go ahead.
I honestly believe what people perceive as the truth is not the truth in California because they've been cheating, I hear, too.
So, That's right.
Anyway, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law.
Amen.
For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
You mean I can't obey my way into heaven, Joe? Is that what you're telling me? Dave, can I obey?
Don't think so, Coach. That dog doesn't hunt very well.
Okay, I don't think that works. Okay.
But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners,
yeah.
Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid.
That's a profound question, isn't it? Huh? But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are trying to work our way in, finding ourselves to be sinners, is God endorsing our sin? God forbid. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, but that's who he hung out with, people that needed the most help.
He did. But by the way, those who love most are those who've been forgiven most. Who understand the salvation that they received. Those are the ones who love most. And those are the ones, in my opinion, the ones who love the truth the most. If it's not true, I don't want to know it. Go ahead.
For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law.
Amen.
That I might live unto God.
Amen.
I am crucified
with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Sorry, Joe, that's one of my verses, brother.
I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Mm.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Thank you, Lord.
I do not frustrate.
Yeah, you got to read that verse. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by following the rules, then why did Christ die?
I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That's very profound.
It is really, really profound. Not that we shouldn't follow the rules, but the rules don't get you into heaven. Following the rules don't get you into heaven.
A close but no cigar or something like that, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Come to you this morning with gratitude in our hearts. We're so grateful for this day and that you have seen fit that we all here should be in this day with our lungs full and our hearts beating in this amazing, unique congregation of friends and who are brothers and sisters who worship you and are in search of more truth, Lord, as Coach just said. And Lord, you know the world we're in better than us. You know that most of what we hear in media is not truth. So we ask you for discernment, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit tell us what is truth,
mm-hmm.
and give us wisdom, Lord, the wisdom of Solomon, so that we may make the right choices. so that we may do and say the right things and be more of the person you have created us to be. And so we ask that you lead us through this day and this weekend. Keep us and our loved ones safe. And let us remember that we who believe in you are ambassadors for Christ and his and your kingdom. We are your ambassadors here, Lord. And let us remember that we are no longer who we used to be. We are ambassadors. You are in us, and we need to let the people we meet and see and our friends and family see you in us. And we thank you for Holy Communion, Lord. We ask that you bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life that we may be redeemed and have everlasting life. And we are so grateful. So yes, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Happy are those who are called.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Joe. Hey, look, I have to be obedient real quickly here. Spencer, as Joe was praying, I heard the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said to me, vortex. Vortex. Look that up. What does Webster say vortex is? Let me preface it a second. We are entering in or in the midst of the most unbelievable upheaval of spiritual, folks. We're in the middle of it. Sometimes when you're in the middle of something, you can't see what's going on. We're in the middle of the most unbelievable spiritual upheaval in the history of mankind right now. I really believe that. Whether it be end times, whatever you know moniker you want to put on it, there's something really, really going on. And the supernatural is all around us. The church doesn't recognize that the supernatural is all around us, but it is. So the Holy Spirit said to me, vortex. And so Spencer just pulled it up. It says a whirlpool, a whirling or circular motion of water forming a kind of cavity. It's like a tornado in the center of a circle. And in some instances, drawing in water or absorbing other things, a whirling of air, a whirlwind. Could you guys just stop and catch your breath and just look at what's happened even in the last 2 weeks? Joe Biden's perfectly healthy. No, he's not perfectly healthy. Kamala Harris now is perfectly healthy. Just the changes, the president's almost killed. The vortex that we're in the midst of, and we don't realize it because we just don't realize it. I want to talk to you about that today. what do you want to say here before we get rolling?
Okay. Well,
slide in there saying, see ya.
Right. Morning, everyone.
There.
Yeah. Get that hand on it. All right. Official. Yeah, the vortex, that's a great word. When you said that, I thought of the definition. It's a rotating energy. And the closer to get to the center of it, you're totally drawn in. Which can be a good thing. And when you're saying that, Pass the Salt Ministries is a vortex.
Boy, it is.
Because sometimes people, and that was me, and I know I'm speaking for a lot of other people here. I was on the outside, right, just on there on the fringe,
watching the tornado,
watching, and slowly by the Holy Spirit, it's a vortex of the Holy Spirit. As I got closer and closer, I just got drawn in, and I'm sitting over here and listening and watching Coach and thinking about how many of us do this every morning, and that. The band of brothers of faith that God has brought into this ministry and the people that I have met and been able to associate with.
Yeah, come on over. My wife said, scoot Dave over.
Okay. All right. So I thank the Lord that I'm humbled by the fact that he's brought me into the fellowship. It's
Amen.
Been a great privilege, but it's a vortex. And the closer you get to the center, the thing about God's vortex is when you get to the center, you get more energy.
Oh, yeah. And you're messing up everybody around you too, aren't you? Huh?
Yeah. And you're in the middle and you're where the power's at. The power's right in the very middle.
Amen. Amen.
So that's a profound thought, really. When
you talk and so about the people you come in contact with, they say, can you quit blowing so much air? Will you stop it? As the whirlwind, right? Folks, we're sitting in a vortex for sure.
Amen. Right?
And so I have to just do something. This is what my wife and I, we didn't get in an argument, but this is what Spencer, I just sent it to you. He says 8 years ago, you guys are on Facebook. You ever have stuff just pop up, say 2 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe you're not on Facebook, but I'm on Facebook. This just popped up date. And look at the top of this, this says July 25th, 2016. That's a long time ago. Isn't it? This is outside the abortion clinic in Columbus, Ohio. But I,
is that where Blake goes?
Yeah, that's where he goes. Mike's on vacation up in Montana or someplace like that right now. No, maybe Upper P. Wherever you are, Mike, hope you're having fun. And I hope you slept in. You don't even hear this. But I just want to share this to you because, you know, we're in this debate, Dave, and people get mad because they think I'm pounding the Trump train. I'm not pounding. I don't know how many times I can tell you. Lesser of two evils. And people say, I ain't voting the lesser of two evils. I was standing outside the abortion clinic on, what's it say, July 25th, 2016, and I made this two-minute video, and I just want you to listen to this a second, okay? 8 years ago, if my math's any good, 8 years ago. I've been doing this a while. Go ahead.
Hey, folks, good morning. Coach Dave here on Monday morning outside the abortion clinic. I want to take on an issue today that's really pretty hypocritical in my mind. This whole idea that we're too righteous to vote for the lesser of two evils. You know, folks, the truth is, that's where we live most of our lives, voting for the lesser of two evils. I was talking to a girl just the other day. She had a baby about 6 months ago, and now her maternity leave is up. She has to decide what she's going to do with her baby. And she checked out a couple different daycare centers, and she didn't really like either one of them. But she finally had to settle on one, but she said, you know, I'm not really happy with it, but it seems to me that this one's a little bit better than that one, so we're going to go ahead and put our daughter in there. I said, so you're choosing the lesser two evils? And she kind of chuckled. She said, well, not really, but yeah, I guess sort of. And then I ran into another friend who just got word that they had cancer. How'd you like that news? And the doctor gave him two options. So listen, you can either have chemotherapy or you can do radiation treatments. And I said to her, well, which one are you going to choose? She said, well, you know, I've done a lot of research on them. It seems like that chemotherapy just is awful. So I think I'm going to do the radiation. And then I ran into a person the other day, said, you know what? I'm having a hard time trying to decide which church I'm going to go to. You know, I know that the church that I'm going to right now, I know the pastor really isn't preaching the gospel and that we probably ought to look for a different one. But my family likes it there so much, and my kids like the youth group. And even though they're not getting the truth, you know, as uprooting our family and taking them to a new church, I don't know. I think we'll just kind of stay where we are. Folks, if we're honest with ourselves, we constantly are making choices between the lesser of two evils. There's evil everywhere in the world. We use a lot of different things to judge why we're going to do this and why we're going to do that. It just seems so hypocritical to me that so many people say, listen, I'm not going to vote for this guy because I'm no longer voting for the lesser of two evils. If that's what you do your whole life. Pick between what is good and what is better or what is bad and what is worse.
Lesser two evils, huh?
Oh.
I don't get it.
Coach Dave, that's profound. Huh? We live our lives there, don't we? Yeah, except when we come to vote, we say, oh, I can't. No, not me. I'm going to stay home. I can't vote for you. Well, it'd be okay if you lived your life there, right? Betty's saying clap, clap, clap. It's all good. So a couple things. Here's what I put down. Oh, by the way, Spencer, pull up United Freedom Festival. I got three phone calls yesterday from people I didn't even know who watched the show. Said, Coach, where is this thing? And I live in the Mansfield area, and I live, where is this thing? And what time do you speak? So today, it begins today, the United Freedom Festival in Mount Gilead, Ohio, Morrow County. There it is. It's up on the screen. It begins 7:26 would be today at 9 a.m. It's already started. And I got speakers all day, and Coach Dave speaks at 2:25 this afternoon. There's the itinerary. Put that in the chat for anybody that's interested. 2:25, there I am. They're going to give me 15 minutes to raise heaven. I'm going to do my best to do that. And so there it is. Look, just the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. I would like some of you out there, if you would, put on your prayer list our son, Michelle and I, our son, Zach. Zach's been approved. Some of you know the story. He has a porn charge back 20 some years ago, and finally got approved to take the bar. And he takes the bar next week. And so he's been studying. Let me just say this real quickly. The bar, in my opinion, taking the bar exam is nothing more than a controlled vehicle. That's all it is. Because in today's society, in today's culture, if I was a lawyer and I needed to know the law, what would you do, Dave?
Well, you have no other choice but go to law school. And
well, beyond that, though, you're out of law school and you don't know the ins and outs of the
certain thing. Well, yeah. Well, if you don't have a license, right, then they don't allow you most often to practice, right? They think that you have to have a license to
right.
To practice. When,
Dave, I could do this. Google it. What's the law say about this issue? So I'm dealing with Dave, my client, right? And Dave said, Dave's got this issue and said, man, I really don't know. Let me Google it. Because why? All the information will pop up. But now you have to go take a bar exam to come under their authority. I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. No doubt in my mind, that's what it is. It's not about
technically, you can get the education that you pay for in college. You can get that at your local library for free.
You can get it for free. You can get it on the internet. So anyway, Rod, let me tip my hat to Roger, because Zach's been working for Roger for, I don't know, five, six, however long time. And Roger's really kind of walked Zach through this thing, and he takes the bar next week, and it's a two-day thing. He's got to go. I mean, it's heaven. He's got two little girls that are just – one of them's got, I mean, just a sickness on hers and an unbelievable. And so just if you would, just put that on your prayer list about Zach. Go ahead, Rod. You got something to say about that?
Oh, I was just going to quickly say, as it relates to taking the bar and so forth, you know, the reason the lawyer has to take the bar is to represent other people. Remember, in our Constitution, any of us can be our own lawyers. You know what I'm saying? Any of us
it's true.
Can represent themselves. That is called pro se representation. And I think you asked the question, you know, what would be the best? I think it'd be the mentoring, like Abraham. You know, years ago, you would have to come under a lawyer and kind of hang with him or her for a year or two and learn a few things. It was kind of a mentoring program. Now it is, you know, another thing about a test. And I think the mentoring program was the way to go. And I think Abraham Lincoln illustrated that years ago.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So anyway, just be praying for Zach that he get through this thing. And it's been a long haul for him. So I appreciate that. So look, here's what I put up on as my note to start. Dave can see how I do my notes. Folks, I believe the supernatural is all around us. I believe right now we are in a supernatural vortex. I really, really believe that. That no matter what your feeling is, what you believe about the end times, rapture, none of that stuff really matters. If you believe that, then certainly we're in a vortex, aren't we? Huh? And even if you don't believe that, even if you don't believe in a rapture and all that stuff, boy, we are in a vortex. Are you kidding me?
Do you understand what's happened? Well, I got a lot of stuff I could share with you here today. We're going to kind of dive into some of that stuff. But I want you to know that, Craig, are you out there, Craig? Because Craig sent me something this morning. Craig's
on. Yeah, I'm here.
Where's Randy? I got a hold of Randy. I didn't hear back from him yesterday. So I might get a hold of Randy for me. So Craig, as folks, there are super – I talk about Randy and the staking and all you people who've gone and staked your courthouses. Do we really believe that works? Do we really believe that works? First of all, if we really believed it worked, we'd quit worrying so much about politics and we would just go do what the Lord's called us to do. And we would go put our feet where God told us to put and do what we're supposed to do. And you think about what we did on when we prayed down the courts back in November, 2 years ago, Craig, you keep track of all that. Do we really expect that when we show up and we do what the Lord tells us to do, that there'll be counter corresponding results? Will we be able to see we did this and then this happened? And are we aware that when we do that, it is happening? Everywhere we look, it is happening? And if it really is happening, here's a good question. Did God intervene on Donald Trump? Now, wait a minute. Not because Donald Trump's a righteous man, but for a plan that's moving forward, a supernatural plan that's moving forward, and Donald Trump being just nothing more than a piece on the chessboard. That all who I mean I don't know I don't know, right? And so we are in the middle of this unbelievable vortex. Man, oh man, oh man. So I want to, Craig, I'm going to just kind of flip it over to you here real second. I want you to connect the dots. I want you to be encouraged, folks. Remember, I've been saying here for a couple of times that the supernatural has left the church. And Craig says, no, we're executing the supernatural, and it's popping up right in front of us. So, Craig, take a couple minutes and walk us through what you shared with me. Could you do that?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I would have got the links there because people could have saw it. But remember this weird statue that was embodiment of Ruth Ginsburg. Was this young looking girl with her hair really braided tight, thin as a rail, and has this like umbrella gold dress. It's called the Witness, right? And it was the representation of Ginsburg, right? And of course it was about abortion, but there was a spirit attached to that, right? And they put it over this courthouse in New York City. Well, that courthouse would end up becoming where Donald Trump would go to all these trials this last year, right? And then, because when we went to New York, because Randy said about us going and we went to the Thurgood Marshall Courthouse, federal courthouse, right. I thought, wow, it's going to be up there, you know, next to Thurgood Marshall, because there's the New York State Court of Appeals. And so you got the federal courthouse and you got the New York State federal courthouse in Manhattan there. And I was looking for it and I couldn't find it. I didn't realize it was the city courthouse. But anyways.
So Craig, we have that picture up on the screen right now at the Shazia Silkinder's Golden Monument. It's up on the screen right now.
Right. And so then they took another one of these and they put it in a city area somewhere on a park area where people would walk around. Well, here, wouldn't you lo and behold, they took that statue, this witness, and they move it around. Like they were taking the called the Palmyra Arch, but the Arch of Baal, they were taking that around back in 2015 and 16. They would take it to New York City. It actually sat on the Mall in Washington, D.C. as the Brett Kavanaugh hearing was going on, right? It looked right down through into the Capitol, you know, where these hearings are at. It's sitting on the Mall. And they would take it to, like, Paris if they had the G Summit or, you know, New York City during the United States. Why are they always taking these symbolic things during major events? Well, anyways,
they believe in the supernatural, don't they?
Well, it's an embodiment. It's like the it's like the personification of this spirit over that area. You know, I mean, if the Bible says we fight against powers and principalities, host spirits of darkness in high places, right? Yeah. You know, heavenly hosts. I mean, if you look at that, it's really four different categories. Right? You know, it's not just talking about the same category, it's different categories. So, you know, we know there's this prince of Persia that Daniel, you know, Gabriel says, I got to deal with the prince of Persia. He slowed me down for 21 days. Now I got to go deal with the prince of Greece. I mean, who are these princes? I mean, who's Gabriel dealing with? I mean, he's not dealing with
kings who set themselves and the rulers taking counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. These are spiritual forces, right? Right, Craig?
Right. So what I just think is, I think it's beyond the comprehension, or it's beyond the coincidence that this happened on these courthouses. And then, you know, all these events come with Trump. But then they took this witness thing and they actually took it to Houston. Well, what happened to Houston this year? There's been a lot of flooding. There was this humongous high wind storm that blew out all these windows in May in Houston, yeah. The skyscrapers and stuff like that. So, you know, when I see this, to me, it's not just some arbitrary event. To me, this is activity in the spirit realm.
It's all right? connected in the spirit realm.
And it's manifesting. So, you know, I think there's a fight in the second heaven, and it's playing out here on the first heaven. And we're
Jared,
just getting
hang on real quick. Jared, if you go to the, or I'm sorry, Spencer, if you go into the chat, Kathleen just posted in there that sculpture was beheaded in Houston just this week. Did you guys know that? That statue honoring women and justice was vandalized and destroyed in Houston. Unbelievable, right? Now, are we, Craig, I didn't mean to interrupt you, although I did. I interrupt for a living. Are we connecting these dots? Are these things just, is God moving? Is the supernatural moving? Yeah. Is Randy really making a difference when he goes and stakes? Yeah. Or are this just coincidences? Yeah. Right? Go ahead, Dave.
Back to where you started as you're talking, I'm looking at this and what Craig's talking about. That statue is trying to create a vortex. Mm. They're trying to get an evil energy present.
There you go.
So they can move things in the direction that they want to go. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the part of that. They're creating a vortex. You can have, there's not just, the Holy Spirit is one vortex, but you got the enemy.
Oh, boy.
There's vortexes in many places.
Amen. I didn't mean to cut you off, Craig, although I do that for a living.
Just one more last thing, Coach, because I mean, I think everybody else is tracking what I'm saying here. But remember we went to Boston. Remember they were having the Satanic Satan Con in Boston. So we prayed right. over to Marriott.
Yep.
And then we went up and we went over to Salem, which is what the headquarters of the Satanic Temple.
Amen. Yep.
And we prayed over that. Well, what happened last Christmas, right? So in Iowa, they take the Baphomet statue, which is the representation of the Satanic Temple group, right? And lo and behold, God sends this guy in to knock it over. Not only knock it over, he cuts its head off.
Amen.
So that's beheaded. So this, you got two different beheadings going here. So I don't think the Lord's happy with these things. Otherwise, these things would get beheaded.
And so, believe it or not, when we just obey the Lord and every place we put our foot, he's given to us as an inheritance, and it's supernatural. But we haven't been taught that. We don't believe that. Every place you put your foot, pull that up real quick, Spencer. That's Joshua 1, I believe. Joshua 1. Well, I got some good stuff. So I don't know if I'm going to get time to get to it here. Joshua 1. Yeah, Spencer couldn't. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass. Don't you like it? It always comes to pass, doesn't come to stay. It came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. So the Holy Spirit shows up and speaks. Moses, my servant, is dead. It's your turn now, Dave.
Yeah.
Moses is dead.
Yeah.
All right. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now, we could go on and on. Well, let's go. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I will not fail you.
nor forsake you. Why, Dave? Be strong and have a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Did God give America to the devil? Did he do that? No, he swore, gave it to his fathers. But only be strong and very courageous at how you may observe to do. Observe to do. Not just observe, observe to do. All according to the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from your right hand to your left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Meditate day and night, that you may observe to do. Observe to do. Do you follow this? Observe to do. Do this, this happens. Do this, this happens, right? Observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded you, be strong and have good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. That's pretty clear cut, isn't it?
It doesn't say thou might have good success.
Gotta go, man. Gotta go. So when Randy goes and stakes, and Craig goes and stakes, and Steve Deck goes and stakes, and people go and stake, we are shocked or unaware that supernatural things are happening as a result of it. You guys can think I'm crazy all you want to. I believe it. I believe supernatural things are happening, and we don't even understand it. Huh? I do. I just do. I do. Now, I know some. Go ahead, Rog. Jump in here. Now, Spencer, I want you to get ready. I'm sorry. I got my screen covered. It's okay. Go ahead, Rog.
I might be wrong, and I'm in a teachable comment here. I think, one, a person is reading scripture. Two, God is speaking them to do something that is in agreement with scripture. They then are called to go do it, okay? Now, whether that action is the culmination of a person doing something or something happening, we may never know till we meet him.
That's right.
And that's my view. That we just, and I think we have to be careful to say that my actions have done something. Now, I'm not saying it can't, but we're not going to know until the Lord reveals himself.
Roger, that's what obedience is about. He tells you, go.
I think we go. Or those that go are this. God has spoken to me. I've read scripture. This matches up with scripture. I'm going to go do this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there probably are times when God speaks to a person very directly. He's sovereign. Hey, your actions did this. I'm sure that happens. However, I think many times it's the obedience to what he's calling us to do that is key for him. I'm not so sure if he wants us, I don't like this terminology, take credit for it, but it's the obedience to how he has spoken to you. It lines up with scripture. You go and do it. You believe that your actions then will turn the tide. But I don't know that we can always say my action is what caused the tide to be turned. Is that, and I'm teachable on this.
Well, you need to be taught on it, because here's the truth. If you go to a football game, when I was coaching football, you go to a football game and you see a perfectly executed play. I mean, whatever the play is, it's perfectly executed. And you watch it, and you know what? That play happened through obedience. That every one of those guys on that field did what they had been taught to do. And because they were obedient, the play executed. Now, do we say, well, Lord, it was just because I was obedient this happened? No, it's the progress of obedience. Do you understand? It's a progress of obedience. You are supposed to block that guy. And if you don't block that guy, the play is not going to work. Once the play works and you all go back and you get in the huddle, you look around the huddle, all 11 of us were obedient to the play Coach Dave called. And it worked.
The quarterback throws the ball to a spot before the player has even made the break.
And right? He's got to be there. He's got to be there, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying, I would say this. If we are obedient to the Lord, he is committed to advancing the call. That I would say that. And so
I like the terminology advancing the cause. I think we are spokes in the wheels sometimes of what he is doing. Mm-hmm. I like that terminology, advancing the cause. So I do like that.
All right, cool. I convinced the lawyer. That's pretty good. Nice. Mark Trump. Come on in, Mark.
Yeah, Coach, this reminds me what Roger brought up. I'm kind of in the camp of it's none of our business what God's doing. We serve in our puny way that we understand.
And block your man. We give right, orders. Block your man.
We give
your man.
You're right. You give orders, and as a coach, because you understand that knowledge, and then the people execute, quote, obedience. Right. But it's only to what you know. The thing you've taught us, Coach, I wanted to bring this up. A long time ago, you say goodness follows. That means you don't look back. You're not looking at who gets the pat on the back. You're not looking at what Jesus did with me. I'm a better conduit than him, right? We leave all that behind, and we keep going forward, right?
Amen.
Goodness follows. And I think that's what applies here, Roger.
Amen. Goodness follows obedience. That's exactly what we just read in Joshua. You go do what he tells you to do. By the way, you're not going to do it if you're afraid, because he told you three times, fear not, don't be afraid. So evidently, fear is a very, very powerful force that keeps you from doing what the Lord has asked you to do. And because you don't do what the Lord has asked you to do, there's a gap in the offensive line and the quarterback gets sacked. And then we can't figure out why. The quarterback's getting sacked. And the truth of the matter is, our offensive line, the church, ain't blocking. They ain't blocking. They don't even think they're supposed to block.
Yeah, here's one, Coach. Do we let God have audibles? Or do we take that away from him?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
That's right, brother. Position you to make a play. Are we all positioned to make a play and then don't because we're fearful or doubt or unbelief, whatever it is? Who would have ever thought that us going and putting salt in the rivers would have an impact? I don't even know if we've seen the true impact of what that might do, right? Just simple obedience. Joe Allen, come on in.
Yeah, that gentleman, I believe he was a Navy sailor, didn't care about or fear about knocking that bow from the evil head off.
That's right.
He didn't care about the consequences. He took care of business.
Amen.
That's said.
Amen. He wasn't looking for approval. Dale.
Well, hallelujah, Coach. Unfortunately, most of the team just wants to chase and be in the stands of the football game and not on the field.
They want to put the uniform on. They want to be on the uniform. They don't
on the bench. But whatever you do, Coach, don't put me in. But, you know, you talk about goodness follows. In Mark chapter 16, it says, and these signs shall follow those who believe. That word believe is pistuo, those who have a moral conviction and a continual profession, a walk, which means we are following him. The wake follows behind the ship, Coach. We're chasing signs when the signs are supposed to be following us as we follow him. Amen, Coach.
The wave follows the boat, doesn't it?
That's right. Coach, I just want to do one more thing. Side of everything else, I just felt it in my spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, I do lift up Coach's son to you. It says, let him who lack wisdom ask of God who gives it freely. Father, I know as this man's studying, there's things he's asking wisdom. Simply asking you, you give it freely, unbridledly, no strings attached, Father, that it can come to him. Lord, I thank God for that. I know that this could be that peace, that turning point in his life. I also thank Roger for taking him in, Lord, mentoring him and keeping him afresh in his law. Father, may the blessings of the Lord, may the testimony begin this day, this new chapter in this man's life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Dale. Look, I want to move to a direction that makes people nervous. Dave, I don't know how many times I can say this. I'm not in the Trump. Trump ain't the answer, okay? Trump is a piece of the puzzle. He's a piece of the chessboard. I don't know whether God is using Trump for good or Trump for bad. I really don't know. But I can tell you something. There is a vortex around that guy everywhere he goes. Now, is it him or is it a godly, not a righteous anointing, but is God using him for all of this upheaval, this vortex, everything that's going on around him? That's what I'm trying to figure out. So I like Mark Driscoll. Pull up number 5. I got two things. I hope I can get them both in here for you. Number 5, Mark Driscoll started at the 21-minute mark. You guys know who he is. And somebody sent this to me, and I watched this, and I thought, wow.
Wow. What's Mark Driscoll think?
Go ahead. Decades in politics turn on him. This becomes, by all accounts, an internal coup event. The donors cut off the funding base, and the pathway to victory is narrowed. And suddenly, if they would have had no debate, there would have been no division. That decision was unprecedented, and it ended up being catastrophic. Well, then what happens? Former President Donald Trump is likely supposed to go to a D.C. prison. And the U.S. Supreme Court intervenes and says, not today. Then he is looking at possibly going to a Manhattan prison, and that is postponed seemingly indefinitely. Then there's an assassination attempt on the former president by presumably a 20-year-old lone gunman in one of the greatest failures of the Secret Service in our lifetime. I mean, mind-blowing. The guy's a chip shot away from the president with a rifle and a rangefinder, puts a drone up before the event. The only thing he didn't do is fly a plane with a large flag behind it saying, I'm going to shoot at the president at such and such time. I mean, this was wildly telegraphed. Thank God he was not a professional. I mean, this would be over. And in the, tell me if this doesn't smell like Providence. The president turns his head to read something off of a screen. And at that moment, he turns just far enough to miss a bullet by presumably less than an inch, but not so far to take the bullet. It grazes his ear, and the next shots also miss him. How do you explain that? Apart from maybe just ask, is there a God? And did he get involved right there? Was he like, you know what? Just tilt your head a little bit.
Hang on. Let me interject. You don't have to be a man of God to be God's man. Go ahead.
Well, then Jack Smith has a presumably the strongest case against President Trump to convict him of a crime. And bazinga, out of the blue, a Florida judge tosses the case on day one of the Republican National Convention.
Wow.
What a coinky dink. What a series of unrelated historic coincidences.
Okay, you can stop then, right there. So here's a question. Throw politics aside. Is God something supernatural going on that we don't understand? We're looking at it from a political standpoint. God's moving chess pieces. Does God use evil men? Is Donald Trump an evil man? Is Donald Trump a godly man? We don't know. But look at what's happened just in the last 3 weeks. Joe Biden went from being, oh, he's on top of his game, the best I've ever seen him, to a coup, a literal coup that's taken place. Right, folks, is there something supernatural going on? And is it happening because Christians are behind the scenes being obedient to what it is God has called them to do? I don't have the answer. And I'm not here. I go back to the video I played earlier. I don't know, man. I don't know. God raises up one, God brings down another. What in the heck is going on? Is the supernatural breaking loose? One more thing, bring up Amanda Grace. I'm ambivalent about Amanda Grace. It's number two, Spencer. I'm ambivalent about her. I mean, I have no opinion one way or another with Amanda Grace. But most of you know, I don't think a whole lot about all these prophets and prophetesses that are out there. But started at the, what did I say, man? 25-minute, 30-second mark. And see what Amanda Grace says here. Go ahead.
Head of the DNC. So I wanted to talk to you about that as well. Were we able to get the clip? Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's play this. All right. We're going to go back to this 11-minute speech now. So I want to play for you. Our team is going to play for you this clip because I want you to hear this.
I ran for president 4 years ago because I believe and still do that the soul of America was at stake. The very nature of who we are was at stake. And that's still the case.
There it is. It's a battle for the soul of America. The soul of the nation is at stake. Yes, because they want to enslave it. And right now, that enslavement is in grave danger of losing its grip and of them losing their grip to enslave it. Right now, that is in grave danger because every plot they have tried has backfired on them. The lawfare, the assassination. You know, you don't say it's time to put a bullseye on somebody's back, you know, and then this happens. I mean, that's just way too coincidental. And so one plan after another has failed. So plan C was now to make him, I called it plan B, but it's probably really plan C, is to make him now and force him to step aside. And now you have Kamala Harris parading herself around like she's the nominee when nobody's nominated her yet. Joe has endorsed her. Nobody's nominated her. They haven't had their mini primary at the DNC. She hasn't officially been given anything. And I don't believe legally she can use the campaign funds that Joe Biden has because she's not the official nominee. So all of that money now, their war chest is tied up and they can't use their war chest now. And they can't use it because she's not the nominee. So it's interesting how this happened, how all of a sudden all of that cash, in a way, got
okay. Tied up. So just in the chat as well. Here's the point. Here's the point. Are we so caught up in politics that we're missing the supernatural intervention of God and some of these things that are going on? Not that God loved Donald Trump because he was a righteous man, but because he was a tool that was and is being used. And you would have to admit this, wouldn't you, friends, that everything that they've tried to do regarding President Trump over the last 3 years has failed. Everything they've tried to do has literally backfired. Who would have ever thought 2 months ago, that Biden wouldn't be the candidate and Trump would still be standing? They had all of those court trials against all that stuff, and it looked like he wasn't going to make it. And boom, all of a sudden, Biden didn't make it. Now, is there supernatural intervention of God there? That's all I'm asking. And I'm sorry if some of you are hearing me and thinking this is an endorsement of Donald Trump. This is an endorsement of the hand of God. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying God is doing something unbelievable, and we are missing it. That's what I think. Craig, come on in.
Boom.
Amen.
I put in the chat, maybe Spencer could pull it up, Jeremiah 43:8, probably through 12. And what it does is Jeremiah is given a word to the Lord, and it says, go and take this rock, put it at the entrance to Pharaoh's palace, and say to them, these rocks. I mean, he's, you know, and he's speaking to the rocks, but he's speaking to them. This Jeremiah is the Lord God.
What? Jeremiah what?
43:8.
Go ahead.
Through like 13 or something like that.
Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah and Tahpanhes, saying, take the great stone in your hand. Steve Deck, you listening? And hide them in the clay, in the bricklin, which is at the entry of Pharaoh's house in Tahpanhes, in the sight of the men of Judah. And saying to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I've hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt and deliver such as for death to death, for such as are from captivity to captivity, and such as are from sword to sword. And I will kindle a fire in the house of the gods of Washington, and he shall burn them and carry them away captives. He shall array himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd putteth on his garment, and he shall go forth from thence in peace. And he shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh, that is in the land of Egypt, the house of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. We staked the guide stones, and they're gone, folks. We are seeing God move in many different areas because why? We did what he told us to do. Come back in, Craig.
Well, what, I mean, you guys went to Nashville over these right. people who were getting right, and you prayed over that court, and they right. didn't have That's court, right. and it got delayed. Why did Steve, Dak, myself, Rusty, and Myra go pray at the court before Pastor Dunphy came the week after?
Amen.
What Pastor Dunphy was supposed to be already sentenced in the end of May. That's His right. hearing was the end of May. And I'm telling you that because we sat in that courtroom. And by the way, they know your name there. Those prosecutors do. They saw our hats there. They're like, but anyways, why isn't he in jail? Why? This sounds so self-serving that people will misrepresent what I'm trying to say. Okay. Because they're going to say it's about you, Craig. And I said, it's not about me. It's not about me. No. Why did God call? This guy got a pig heart transplant, and they took pig DNA and human DNA, and they put it in this pig, harvested the pig, put it in the guy's heart, and he's the first human pig DNA Nephilim transplant.
Amen.
And I read about him, I was like, this guy lives where I live. And I felt so compelled to go find this man's grave, and just, I didn't know what to do. And then I went over there, and his dad's a preacher, and says, let not your heart be troubled. And all these scriptures that have to do with your heart. And I left the grave. I didn't even tell my wife about it because she thought, you know, I was doing crazy something there. I didn't do anything. I just prayed over it. And an hour later that night, my wife wakes me up and tells me, hey, do you know what the guy died from? It was a pig virus. I said, well, what time did that come out? I mean, this is like news. All I knew is he died. 1 hour after I left there. Why did, when we went down to the Scottish Rite Temple, remember, and we were praying over that, you know, yeah. why was cocaine found in the White House 6 hours later? I mean, I can go down the list. I remember when we went to Bobby's thing, and we were praying over the water, and Rusty and I, and there's a river between Kentucky and Ohio somewhere, okay? Yeah. We were crossing this big bridge, and said, well, that's a big body of water. I said, well, let's go put some salt in it. Why did 10 barges get all with hazardous materials, get all bunched up against a bridge a week later, but none of the hazardous materials got into that water? Do you remember there was a big barge thing?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I could go on and on.
We don't believe in the supernatural, Craig. We don't believe, the church does not believe in the supernatural.
And I'm not saying I said, hey, protect the barges. I'm not saying, hey, I want to bring you in. I'm just saying the Lord, He give you. Like a God wink. And we all see these in our own personal lives, whether it's a car that, you know, man, you just hit your brakes at the right time and you stop 2 inches from hitting it, or a kid, or you run over your grandson,
let me throw this out there because I've seen this one. Well, if God saved Donald Trump by missing that bullet, does that mean he wanted that other guy to die? See, that's the way that we think. He wanted that Corey guy to, No, but he supernaturally intervened for what? Well, there's something greater going on than what we understand is going on. Is Donald Trump a good guy or a bad guy? I don't know this, but the heart of the king is as water in the hand of the Lord, baby. And shame on us for not recognizing supernatural things that are happening all around us. And we can't explain them, but can I tell you something? The dark side sure as hell believes in it. Amen. But we don't, right? We don't. Man, a lot to chew on. Watch some of those things. Oh, I look at that. I got about 10 more things I wanted to get to. I didn't get a chance to get to today. And appreciate Dave. Sherry, stick in here, Sherry. There she is. She's
it's
here.
It's a supernatural moment.
Something
Hallelujah.
Supernatural. Going on around us. Something supernatural.
We've got
going
an
on.
Awesome team here.
Hey, we listen, all of you, Lord. All of you out there, if you can get here in 5 minutes, Michelle's got breakfast for you. Right? See you Monday. God bless you.